Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We've got an empty chair here. It's not a Seder.
I'm the bleeping head coach here.
Jeff, where'd you get that tie?
The ice cream truck is not coming to the hood.
Yeah!
Let's do it.
My head's gonna explode.
Matthew freaking Stafford.
Let him go, G.
What's up, America?
Let him get it out.
I want my face on my shirt.
I, like many others, enjoyed some buffalo wings for the Super Bowl yesterday.
Jeff Mayer, y'all.
Are you eating them with a fork and a knife?
Fork and knife.
Jeff Mayer.
Attention, Kmart shoppers.
Rainey, have you ever been to Kmart?
Oh, yes, of course.
The bowl was clean. This man is a technician with a fork and knife.
Here's a pro tip. Use two forks.
I don't see Tom, like, you know, mulching.
It's over. Brady out.
Flashback to Greeny's childhood. Michael, knife and fork, son.
He paid.
Giselle's going to be like, oh, hey, Tom, like, take out the garbage. And you're like, what? I want to take out the garbage? What?
Yeah.
You got to pick it up. You got to get dirty with it.
Let me make it 100% clear. I will never do that. The most popular person at GetUp by far is Allie Havens, who is our producer. She was in the 4 o'clock meeting. She then got otherwise occupied. And that's the result. Congratulations, Allie. We love you.
Cutest baby ever. I can't get over the knife and fork thing, but love that this man is joining us. Damian Woody in the house. Welcome back to Get Up. Happy to have him here with us, joining in with Jeremy Fowler, Mike Tannenbaum, and me, Ryan Smith, in for Greeny. We are live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Thank you so much for joining us. A lot to get to in the show, so let's get on it and get right to the Packers. Because you know what? They're all in on Aaron. Green Bay making the big move to try to keep their MVP quarterback. Will it work? Plus, decisions in Dallas. Dak wants in on them, but will Jerry Jones actually go for it? We'll tackle that. And oh no, the injury to Anthony Davis is way worse than first thought. What should LeBron and the Lakers do now? We'll ask Stephen A. Smith within the next hour. And thank you so much for joining us. So we're going to start today with basketball, shall we? The game of the night. Because it was a great one. Giannis and the Bucks taking on Joel Embiid and the Sixers. These two would go back and forth down the stretch. Let's show you. Fourth quarter, Bucks down three. Giannis, the three. You got to guard him out there. Bucks tie the game at 106. Next 76ers possession. Embiid, the lay-in and the foul. Great shooter that he is. He makes the free throw. Sixers reclaim the lead. Then Giannis finds former Sixer Drew Holiday for the three. Bucks go ahead 111-109. 4 minutes left, Bucks up one. And Giannis pulling up again saying, you know I can hit this three. Bucks up by four. Later, Sixers down one. Embiid making the fadeaway, Jay. Embiid puts the Sixers up by one. And then 3.3 seconds remaining, Furkan Korkmaz turns the ball over on the inbounds pass. Bucks cause a huge turnover. They got a chance to win it, to get back in it, to tie. And no, Chris Middleton. The Sixers hold on to win the game 123-120. Embiid, 42 points and 14 rebounds. So despite having the worst record of the four teams that you're seeing on this screen, let's talk about the Nets. They are still favored to win the East, according to Caesars. The Heat, who currently sit at the top of the East standings, have the fourth shortest odds to win the conference. It's been that kind of year in the NBA. Now, let's go to the NFL. Big news from Green Bay as the Packers try to convince Aaron Rodgers to stay. How are they doing it? Well, they're bringing back one of the coaches Rodgers credits for his development. Tom Clements is coming out of retirement to be Green Bay's quarterback's coach. He was with the Packers from 2006 to 2016. So we had to get a report on this from the ground. We bring in our guy, Packers reporter Rob Domofsky, with more on this. Rob, what more can you tell us about this Packers coaching hire of Clements?
Ryan, it comes down to this. A 68-year-old coach with no ties to Matt LaFleur or this coaching staff isn't coming out of retirement to coach Jordan Love, right? However, a source told me yesterday that this is not a guarantee that Rodgers is coming back, just a hope that it's another thing that will convince him to do so. Now, Tom Clements hasn't coached Rodgers since 2016, as you mentioned, but he's someone that Rodgers talks about and brings up all the time. Just last month, Rodgers credited him, Joe Philbin, and Alex Van Pelt for his development when he was waxing nostalgic. And he always talks about Tom Clemens' three mortal sins as a quarterback. Three things that you can't do that Clemens taught him. Never throw late over the middle, no blind throws, and no premeditated decisions. This is a guy, Ryan, who has incredible influence over Rodgers' career.
Wow, this should make it very interesting for Green Bay and their push to try to keep Rodgers. So should we expect this move to impact Rodgers' timeline on making his decision for next season?
Well, not necessarily a timeline, Ryan, because I think that was set in stone when he said it's tied to Devontae Adams and he's going to wait till the franchise tag period comes and goes to see what they do with Adams. That period obviously starts February 22nd, runs through March 8th. The decision has to be done by the start of free agency March 16th because they have so much work to do with the salary cap. So I don't think it impacts the timeline, but it does impact the decision overall.
Okay, interesting point there. The clock is ticking, but Aaron Rodgers still has a little bit of time. But this is going to get interesting, especially with this hire. Rob Domofsky, always great to see you. Great job, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, let's get into this with the guys. And Damian Woody, I want to start with you. What do you make of this hire when you talk about trying to keep Aaron Rodgers in town?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're talking about another familiar face that Aaron Rodgers has been accustomed to being around, although it's been a few years, but this is a guy that was there basically from the beginning. And make no mistake about it, you know, like Rob talked about, this is all about Aaron Rodgers and hoping to get him back into the mix. We all know about the salary cap situation with the Green Bay Packers, but that can be finagled, and Mike T can speak on that. You can always, you know, find a way to maneuver and massage the salary cap, but everything is geared towards Aaron Rodgers, bringing familiar faces in the building to give him that comfort level to ultimately hope that he comes back to the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, and this is the kind of thing Aaron Rodgers talked about, Mike T. I want the kinds of things, the people that I like around me. This seems like a move like this, but it also seems like a play right out of your playbook. How hopeful are we that the Packers will, that this move is going to help them keep Aaron Rodgers?
It's the same play we ran when we tried to sign Damian Woody from Detroit. You want $5 million a year? No, we're going to give you $6 million. You want $6 million, we're going to give you $7 million. Whatever it takes.
Oh,
but in all seriousness, this is a really smart move by the Green Bay Packers, and I'm not stopping here. You tell me what it takes economically, not economically. Again, it bears repeating. The last 4 years of Drew Brees' career, they pushed out the cap charges, and they had the best record in the NFL. We will keep Devondre Campbell. We will keep Devontae Adams. You don't have to be here in the spring. You don't have to throw in the summer. You and Tom Clemens work out a schedule you like, and we're going to make great music together. And it may be Lambeau Field, but that's located on Rodgers Boulevard. This is about your legacy. We will do whatever it takes.
All right, and if you see that piano in Woody's living room, you know that worked out pretty well for him, right? Sacho, what's your thoughts on this?
I think you should keep on asking A-Rod what he wants, right? You want Clements back, we'll bring him back. You want, whether it's money, we'll give you the money, right? I get it. It's like, we'll try and do all these things. Let's try and figure out and think and meditate. It's like, let's just ask him, A-Rod, what do you want, right? If it's Randall Cobb, we did that. If it's another player, let's do that, right? Whoever it is, whatever it is. And so I love the move. I respect the move. I think it's obviously for Aaron Rodgers. So keep on asking so you can keep your franchise quarterback.
There you have it. Now, when you talk about Aaron Rodgers, of course, he's making a decision. He's looking all around the league to see where he might go, if not in Green Bay. And that's where this comes in. Hall of Fame quarterback Steve Young, when he talks, people listen. He has a team that he says should be aggressively pursuing Aaron Rodgers. Take a listen.
Remember I say you have to have an owner, you have to have a general manager, you have a coach, you have to have the help on the field. What's the number one, two, three, four teams in the league that have that? And the 49ers are right there. Like, if I'm Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or anybody, I want to be here. I want to be there. Like, this is the place. So if I'm going to be in the NFC and I'm going to pick one of the 16 teams that's ready, the 49ers are that team. So if you ask me that question, what I think about Tom Brady for one more year or Aaron Rodgers for a couple, 3 years, this team could go win three Super Bowls.
Three. Let's just think about that. They could win three Super Bowls, he says. Do you agree with him that he should go to, that the 49ers should make a play for him?
Well, the inconvenient truth is that's never going to happen because Aaron Rodgers, you are under contract and you can make life difficult for us from a cap standpoint. We understand that. But you could play in the AFC, you could be a Green Bay Packer, or you could retire. So, Steve Young, it's a wonderful idea and it will never, ever, ever happen. Because if you're the Packers, why would you want to arm your competitor and give them an all-time great quarterback?
Because the Niners say we'll give you a boatload of first-round picks and some good talent. Still no?
So then what I'm going to do is I'm going to call up George Payton, the GM of the Broncos, and say, hey, you really want Aaron Rodgers? Here's what it's going to cost.
Crafty, as always. Sacho, what do you think? Good place, 49ers, for Aaron Rodgers?
And I would just tell Mike T, I think it was Jaden Smith in that song, he said, never say never, right? Never say never. I understand that Green Bay may not want to trade him, but it would be a good location, obviously, because Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, number one. Number two, you have a great defense, a top 10 defense. You have one of the best receivers or playmakers in the NFL in Deebo Samuel. You have all the weapons you need, and so it makes total sense. Will it happen? We don't know, but does it make sense? Absolutely. All you need is one quarterback, and now you can have the same equation that the Rams had, same equation that Tampa Bay had, championships.
Yeah, let's not forget, they paid all that, all those picks to get Trey Lance in. But Woody, if you had Aaron Rodgers on the 49ers, is this a team that could win the Super Bowl?
Oh, come on, Ryan. You know the answer to this question. Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about being in a system that he would be, you know, from a familiar tree, because both Matt LaFleur and Kyle Shanahan come from the same tree. So the coach and the system is going to be similar. And when you talk about the 49ers, the first thing you talk about is the physicality. They want to run the football. They want to be physical. Now you bring in a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, you know, what is a four-time league MVP that can, you know, be the distributor, the point guard of the passing game of that offense. So Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, all the George Kittle, all those guys would benefit from a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's just, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in the National Football League.
So, Mike, if something like this did happen, where does that leave somebody like Trey Lance? How do you talk to a guy like that when you're bringing in Aaron Rodgers?
Right, and it's a lesson that you learn in the NFL. It's always about competition. And as Coach Parcells said in his 10 Commandments about quarterback, we need a battlefield commander, someone who's mentally tough. And at some point, you're going to be competing against Jimmy G, somebody in the draft. Obviously, if it's a Hall of Famer, you're going to be sitting behind him. But if I'm Trey Lance, I want to absorb as much information as I can, learn, and then give him a chance to – look, they gave up 3 first-round picks. They believed in him, and at some point, he'll get his opportunity with Kyle.
Okay, don't sulk. Take advantage of the opportunity that you have. Sounds like the key there. All right, let's go to Arizona, where the Cardinals and quarterback Kyler Murray – man, it's been interesting. He's been feeling the regret over the social media purge of the Cardinals' content. And now, let's talk about this a little bit more. According to Arizona Sports, Murray, who's extension eligible, has one more season left on his rookie contract, which carries a fifth-year option. So, guys, I wanted to touch on this because, first of all, you got Kyler Murray regretting scrubbing the Cardinals from his social media. This thing has gone back and forth. And Sacho, let me bring you in on this. I'm sorry, we don't have Sacho, so we'll come to him if he joins in. But Jeremy, let me start with you. What are people around the league saying about this, I don't know what to call it, this situation in Arizona?
Well, they have the same reaction. They're trying to make sense of it. They assume that it's contract related, but nobody knows for sure. I don't know that Arizona even knows for sure. But here's the thing. I've spent some time in Arizona this season. I did like an embed story with them for a couple days. They have been planning for an extension for Kyler Murray for a while now. They know the implications of this long term. They believe he's their guy. Now, that was before the bottom fell out on their season. A little bit of finger pointing, but you know, they believe they can get past that. And these sort of contract talks, we've seen it with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, they don't really happen until the summer anyways, or even the next year. And so for Arizona, they're not really stressed out about this. They've tried to maintain that they're going to support Kyler Murray, and that's their position.
Okay, Woody, I got to bring you in on this because, you know, we always talk and send notes before the show, and you had a very interesting response to this whole Kyler Murray situation. What do you make of it?
Man, this is so dumb. It really is. It is so dumb, man. It just shows you the times that we live in. We live in this social media era, and obviously Kyler Murray, you know, pretty much grew up in this era where everything happens, you know, in social media. And the fact that, you know, you scrub your Instagram or your Twitter and, you know, now it's the whole big thing. And it's just like, Kyler, you're the face of the franchise. You're the quarterback. If you got an issue, go talk to Cliff. Go talk to, you know, the Bidwells, like the owners. Like, you have that type of juice to go behind the scenes, go talk to upper management about any problems that you have. And the fact that we're talking about scrubbing social media and all these type of things is just ridiculous to me. Now, I will say this. There are things about Kyler Murray as far as his game, his body language, that I don't like. But also, if we're going to talk about what's going on with Arizona, I think you got to start with Cliff Kingsbury, because we've seen now, and it's not, it's just, it's a pattern dating all the way back to Texas Tech. This team implodes at the end of the year. I don't know what's going on with Cliff Kingsbury, but for some reason, every year, this team doesn't know how to finish. And that's been the trend going back to his college days. So they need to resolve all of that. But if I'm Kyler Murray, go talk to ownership, man. Stop all this scrubbing, you know, social media nonsense.
No scrubs.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want any scrubs. Mike, what do you make of all this?
Well, similar to D. Wood's point, I would sit down with Kyler Murray and say, what could we do to help you maximize your leadership ability? And his answer to me would be so interesting, yeah, because we would get, you know, a sense of his self-awareness, which is he's a great player. He's going nowhere. He'd be the best player in this year's draft, next year's draft. He's staying there. But tell us what you need to do to improve your leadership ability.
Yeah. All right. Those leadership concerns are real. I mean, there was some stuff dating back to last year when I was polling execs on the best quarterbacks in the league. And there's some tangible stuff that they worry about from a maturity standpoint. I think he's made some strides this year, but here we are again. It's a big offseason for him.
They got to find a way to sort this out. Well, coming up, Dak wants decisions. He wants in on those decisions in Dallas. Now, question is it a good idea? And will Jerry Jones let it happen? We're talking about that coming up. And Jimmy G, how much will it cost to get him? Could he elevate a team from pretender to contender? And should the 49ers even trade him? We're talking about that coming up on Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back with you on Get Up. Time to run the hurry up with Jeremy Fowler. Go, Jeremy.
We'll start with Deshaun Watson. I'm told that teams like the Vikings and the Bucks are loosely on his radar. You know, right now he's believed to be focused on his legal matters. He's got a deposition coming up, so that's the priority. No formal discussions right now about his future. But, you know, he's thought about some fits, coaching, what a new offense might look like. Bucks obviously have an opening at quarterback. I believe the Bucks will exhaust all options to try to find their future signal caller. Vikings in a different spot with Kevin O'Connell. They could go for the safe choice, keep Kirk Cousins. Let's go to another quarterback who's entrenched in Las Vegas, Derek Carr. The belief around the league is that new coach Josh McDaniels took the Raiders job knowing that Derek Carr would be in place and that would be his guy. So he's got 1 year left under his deal. They've got to work out an extension. At some point this offseason, NFL Combine's coming up. That's typically a time where agents and teams meet. So Carr's reps could meet and he'll start to get the ball rolling on a potential deal. Let's go to San Francisco. You got Jimmy G. Now, everybody expects Garoppolo to be traded. That's sort of just the belief around the league. The 49ers have not publicly committed to definitely dealing Garoppolo. So, you know, the window is slightly open right now. That's just the expectation that they will move on and go with Trey Lance. But they've wanted a first-round pick in the past. It's a question of whether they can get it. Now, talking to other teams, they believe maybe more of like a day two pick and a package, maybe a second and a fourth round pick would get more realistic and get this done. And so we'll see if the 49ers can get it to the finish line, maybe before free agency even.
And remember, if Jimmy G, maybe he gave that end of season press conference where it seemed like he was saying goodbye to everybody.
Right.
I'm kind of out of here. Thank you, fans. I mean, it really does seem like something that's going to happen, but it makes you wonder, does it need to happen? Mike, you've heard all the trade rumors around Jimmy G. Where does your mind go to when you think about Jimmy G?
Yeah, I'm really hard-pressed to know why they're letting him go. They are a team that was on the precipice of the Super Bowl. There was 12 minutes to go in that game. And to me, with all the injuries in the NFL that we saw this year at the quarterback position in a 17-game season, make that a position of strength, guys, not weakness. I would keep him and Trey Lance. Let the best player play.
Hang on, though. Injury history, he's been banged up a lot. Trey Lance waiting in the wings. You traded all those picks for him. Isn't that what they're looking at here?
Yeah, and if Trey Lance beats him out, great. I want to, again, when you look at, for example, the New York Giants, not that they were a great team, but when Daniel Jones went out, they had no hope with a guy like Mike Glennon. Mm. There's only about 20 stars in the NFL. I would keep him and let the best player play. And if I'm Trey Lance, competition is good for developing a young quarterback. So if I'm the 49ers, unless I get blown away by an offer, guys, I'm holding on to a really good player.
Interesting. D-Wood, what do you think about that?
You know, I tend to lean towards what Mike T is saying. I mean, listen, you never can have too many of a good thing. And one thing about, you know, you can say many things about Jimmy G, but Jimmy G wins football games. There's no question about that. Now, if the 49ers ultimately going to deal Jimmy G, I mean, the teams off the top of my head that I think about, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts. You know, those are two teams that I think is going to be in the quarterback market, and they need help at that position.
Yeah, it's a good point. Jeremy, I look at this situation, and you mentioned they're looking for a first-round pick. I wonder about the timing of all this, how they're looking at this situation and saying, well, maybe we move on if we get something a little bit less.
Well, it's complicated because when they traded for Trey Lance, part of the catalyst was that Jimmy G couldn't stay healthy. And he had two seasons out of his first 3 years there where he was out of the lineup. And so they figured, can we count on this guy from a durability standpoint? Well, he came back and they had a good year and he played, you know, most of the snaps and played pretty well, completing, you know, nearly 70% of his passes most of the years in San Fran, winning games. So it's what happened a year ago is a little bit different now because he showed that he can be durable. But the thing with Trey Lance, you draft him and you give up those first-round picks to get him because, A, you believe he has a higher ceiling than Garoppolo, and, B, he has a rookie contract. He's going to make $2 million this year coming up. So you can build around him, take advantage of those couple years with a rookie, and sign other players.
And I think both those things can be true, Ryan, which is he has a high ceiling, but again, short term, you still have Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't see the downside to that.
Well, let me just push back just a little bit, okay? So in the playoffs, Jimmy G, nobody's going to say he was terrible, but they are going to say that he had flaws. And you got Trey Lance there. You're putting him in the lineup if you have him start this year. And Jimmy G, you're not sure if you're going to get him that week or not because of the injury history. That might set the team in some ways in turmoil because it's hard to get a consistent approach if a guy's not playing all the time.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I think Kyle Shanahan has to say this is the starter, whoever wins that competition.
Okay.
But they all have flaws. Let's go back to the championship game. Matt Stafford threw a pass that Jarski Tart should have caught easily, and the game's probably different. So I think they all have bumps in the road. So to me, again, I'm looking at it. The race is long. It's a 17-game journey. And look at the job that the Cardinals did. When Kyle Murray got hurt, Colt McCoy goes in. He wins a couple of road division games. It keeps Arizona alive. And I think if I'm the 49ers, I have a really good team. Let's keep this position fortified.
All right. Woody, let me turn to you on this thought. So as Jeremy was mentioning, if you move on from Jimmy G, you got Trey Lance there, you build around him some more. This team was close to making the Super Bowl. Do you see the 49ers as a Super Bowl team with Trey Lance at the helm?
I mean, I would say right off the top, probably not. They're a very talented team, but we ultimately know that, you know, in order to be one of those Super Bowl teams, you're going to have, you know, pretty damn good quarterback play. And we know with Trey Lance, he has all the physical attributes. He just hasn't played. You know, that's the biggest thing. He didn't play his last year, you know, at North Dakota State. He didn't really play this year. So you're talking about a guy, if he is a starting quarterback, who's going to be limited as far as the amount of snaps he's played the last couple years. So compare that to the Los Angeles Rams and the Dallas Cowboys, some of these other teams, I would probably say no.
And that makes this so interesting because, as you say, Mike, it's a good point. Keep the guy who got you this far, stick with Lance, but you never know what's going to happen with this situation because they paid all those picks for Lance and they want to see him get in.
Three overall pick.
Yeah. Well, coming up, the injury to Anthony Davis is worse than first thought. What should LeBron and the Lakers do now? We'll ask Stephen A. Smith next. But first, some football, a little sneaky hembo time for D-Wood. D-Wood, who is the only quarterback in NFL history to throw for 30 touchdown passes in each of his first two seasons? I have my thought on that. D-Wood is thinking. I think he knows it. I think Hembo's going down. I think we'll find out when we come back.
Hi.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back, and back to a little sneaky hembo time for D. Wood, who is the only quarterback in NFL history to throw 30 touchdown passes in each of his first two seasons. D. Wood, what say you?
Oh, man, hembo, he gave me – this is a layup, man. Give me Justin Herbert, please.
Yep, you're right. I said the same thing. Hembo's losing his touch, man, or either that or you're just dominating him today. One of the two.
He's losing his fastball.
Well, good one, man. You got it. Good job. Hembo, do better. Anyway, Lakers announced that Anthony Davis will be out for at least 4 weeks after an MRI showed that he's got a midfoot sprain. Now, Davis suffered the injury in the Lakers' win over Utah Wednesday night. The Lakers are currently in the ninth spot in the West. So things are not looking good for LA. And we bring in our man Stephen A. Smith with us now. All right, Stephen A., the Lakers, they're ninth in the West. Mm-hmm. AD's out for an extended period of time. Are they done?
I don't think they're done. I don't think they're done. I think they have an opportunity for the play-in game. I think that, you know what, they'll be in the first round of the playoffs. I think LeBron James will find a way to see to it that that happens. He's playing like an MVP. He's averaging 29 a game on better than 52% shooting. He's doing his job. These are legitimate injuries by Anthony Davis. But the reality of the situation is that it doesn't negate the fact that he looks a bit out of shape. He has looked that way all season, probably because he was trying to get bigger, because people were telling him that he was going to need to play some time at the five and he was going to need to go up against some of the bigger boys. But I'm just finding myself looking at the Los Angeles Lakers, and I understand that LeBron James is on my Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. He's one of the top three players in the history of basketball, top two, even though some people in this camp would think that's insulting. I mean, my God, God forbid that I have him as the second best player in the history of the sport. I mean, that's just sacrilegious to say such a thing, Stephen A. But looking at him, knowing how great he is, I look at some of these players and I'm like, don't y'all have any kind of pride whatsoever to leave it up to a 37-year-old in his 19th season to come to the rescue because nobody else can? That's what has me very, very disgusted in what I'm seeing from the Lakers, because Russell Westbrook is not a scrub. Anthony Davis is not a scrub. You've got some good players on there. You've got all-stars. You've got future Hall of Famers on that squad. You just look at them sometimes, and whatever is lacking in your game, were you not working on it in the offseason? Because clearly LeBron James was, and clearly he continues to do such a thing. Why does he stand alone on that mountain? That's my issue with the Lakers.
So for you, this is more of an effort thing that you're seeing.
I think it's not just effort. I mean, I'm not going to sit up there and question guys' effort in terms of what we see from them on the court during the season. But in the offseason, are you working out or are you working on your game? See, when I look at LeBron James, I see a guy that's working on his game. When I watched Kobe, I saw somebody that was working on their game. When I looked at MJ, I saw somebody that was working on their game, because the arsenal never dissipated. It elevated year after year after year because they knew people were coming for them. The problem with a lot of guys in today's NBA game is that when you hear about them working out, yeah, you're running and you're in condition. You're conditioning and what have you. You're doing those kind of things. So you can step on the court and run up and down the court. But the repertoire, the arsenal that you have available to you, doesn't seem to change. Julius Randle, New York Knicks, perfect example. You have been in the league for a decade and still won't use your right hand. Now tell me what kind of explanation. How do you explain that? What else is it that you're doing that you can't figure out? Well, this is the NBA. These are the best players in the world. I'm averaging 19 and 10. I was an all-star last year, but guess what? If I'm a bit more ambidextrous and I add that to my arsenal, they won't be able to stop me. I'm powerful. I got a J. I can take it to the hole. I can finish at the basket. What's my issue? The issue is everyone and their grandmother knows I'm going left. And year after year, what do? You go left. And so when you see guys like Mike Tannenbaum and other executives in professional sports, when you're analyzing, it's football, it's basketball, it's anything, The question is, what are you doing to elevate your level of play, to take it one year to the next, to the next? Because when you want to get paid, it ain't just about what you did. It's about what you're going to do. And if I see that you're doing the same thing and I'm going against the best players in the world, somebody's going to figure it out. Somebody's going to figure it out. They can't figure out LeBron James, can they?
Mm-mm.
And it ain't just because he's 6'9", 260. It's the handle. It's the passing ability. It's the finishing at the basket. He's shooting jump shots. He's posting up. He has an arsenal that enables him to do whatever it takes. But he didn't come into the league with those abilities. He keeps taking his game to another level, and it seems like everybody else around him is just standing around spectating. And that is why you have a situation like you have in L.A. Talent, no doubt. All-world talent in the case of an Anthony Davis. But how is anybody saying something about your conditioning when LeBron James is your teammate and that's your guy? Because the one thing we're not saying ever about LeBron James is that LeBron James looks out of shape.
No.
Ever.
No.
Ever. But you can say that about other people. Mm. They're either not working on their game or they're not working on their conditioning.
Maybe that's why he's meditating on the bench, as we saw last night.
Because he knows he's the one that has to come through. Mm. And inside of his mind, he's like, I'm 37 years old. This is my 19th year in the league. I want to take over like I did in the fourth quarter the other night with Aaron Donald sitting courtside. Yeah, I want to do that. But I shouldn't have to. Somebody should be able to step up and help me out a little bit here. And it shouldn't be rookie Austin Reeves, who looked like he's on the cast, one of the cast members of Happy Days from the 1950s and 60s. Okay, it shouldn't be him. It should be somebody else. But that hasn't been the case for the most part with LeBron James. And that's why it's a situation that's shaky. Right now, I mean, you can make a legitimate argument that LeBron James is going to Cleveland, back near his home of Akron, Ohio, 30 minutes away. He's going back to Cleveland. You can make a legitimate argument that he should want to stay there.
Oof.
The Cleveland Cavaliers are better than the Los Angeles Lakers. Their future looks better than the Los Angeles Lakers. And you know who's laughing right now? Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Because not only did I get LeBron James to come back and deliver a championship to the city of Cleveland, but now if LeBron James wanted to come back, I don't even need him. Because I'm a contender within the Eastern Conference without him. With a bunch of young cats with fresh legs who just want to play, I don't have to pay them as much. I don't have to worry about all the stuff that comes with it. LeBron James is actually in a worse situation playing for the purple and gold for Lakers Nation than the Cleveland Cavaliers are right now in the NBA.
Who would have ever thought we would be in this position at this point in the season or in any season comparing the Lakers to Cleveland? And by the way, speaking of the East, we saw what Joel Embiid and the Sixers did last night against the Bucks. We're now at the All-Star break. Who is the team to beat in the East?
I think you have to still go with the Milwaukee Bucks only because they're the reigning defending NBA champions. And the chemistry and the cohesiveness that you're looking for from everybody else, they have. You got to figure out how is James Harden and Joel Embiid going to mesh. You got to figure out how is Ben Simmons going to mesh with KD and Kyrie. Is the New York City mandate going to be lifted in time for the playoffs so Kyrie Irving actually gets to play in New York City, okay? I mean, is that something that's going to happen? There's question marks. Miami is big time, no doubt about it. They didn't want to make any moves before the trading deadline expired because they're very happy with their team. But the last time we saw them in the playoffs, they got swept by the Milwaukee Bucks en route to Milwaukee capturing the NBA championship. Giannis Antetokounmpo is putting up MVP numbers. Chris Middleton is Mr. Mid-Range himself. Jrue Holiday is still a big-time defender in the game. Plus, he can play the point guard spot. You've got the chemistry and cohesiveness there. They're the reigning NBA champions. They have a closer in Giannis. Right now, I think they should be the favorites. They can get knocked off. Make no mistake about it, Brooklyn can take them. Mm-hmm. If Harden and Joel Embiid mesh, they can take them. But if you're putting your money on the line right now, the team that's most stock, most solid, most together, familiar with one another, with a closer, mm-hmm. is the Milwaukee Bucks.
All right. Now, I got to ask you this. We're at midseason, at least all-star break point. We've been talking superlatives all show.
Yeah.
Who's your biggest disappointment so far?
Why are you asking me that, man?
Well, I'm not sure I know the answer.
You know
I'm just not sure, so I just want to.
It's them damn New York Knicks. That's who the hell it is. The New York Knicks are they're an unmitigated disaster. Mm. It's a very, very disappointing thing. I'm embarrassed that there's footage of me talking about we here last year, because we damn sure ain't here now. Leon Rose, I said this on Countdown the other night, there are inmates in state penitentiaries more visible than Leon Rose. We can't find him. I mean, he's the president of basketball operations. You don't see him. You don't hear from him. Nothing. We don't know what the hell he's doing. All right? You got a front office that I believe in terms of Scott Perry, William Wesley, and stuff like that. But you got to get players to come up there. The biggest reason for my disappointment is Tom Thibodeau and Julius Randle. Tom Thibodeau, I happen to believe, is a damn good coach. All right? I think he's a genius defensively. When you bench Cam Reddish, and Cam Reddish gets acquired in a trade from Atlanta, and he's got four DMPs, when the guys you're starting is an Evan Fournier, who has five bad games for every one good game he has, and Kemba Walker playing on one leg, and Derrick Rose was out on the injured list, how in the hell is Cam Reddish not on the basketball court? You know why? Because it's stubborn. Because for some reason you didn't agree with what Leon Rose and the Knicks wanted to do, and so here you are being stubborn and defiant. I'm disappointed in that, because he was in Chicago before, he was in Minnesota before. We thought he had learned the error of his ways and he wouldn't be that way with his crew, with Leon Rose and these guys, but he seems stubborn right now. And in the case of Julius Randle, I already told you, I don't give a damn. You can throw Twinkies here. You can throw cheeseburgers and cheesesteaks there. You can throw filet mignon. It don't matter. If it's on the right, he ain't touching it. He's going left. He's going left all the time. R.J. Barrett, before he went down, started using his right hand more, started going right, et cetera, et cetera. For some reason, Julius Randle, powerful, skilled, can finish at the basket. He's a real talent. He's got one impediment to his game other than his weakness when the crowd gets on him. He gets a little bit petulant, right, and stuff like that, which he's going to have to get over if he's going to stay in New York. But his biggest weakness is that the brother's going left. You can sit up there and announce it 10 weeks in advance. He's still going left. It will never change. I've seen announcers sitting up going, he's dribbling the ball 19, 20 feet away from the basket between his legs before he turns it over half the time. And the announcers say, just wait for it. He's going left.
Just wait for it.
I've never seen it. Every announcer that calls a Knicks game always says, he's going left. He knows this. And what does he do? He goes left. That is how the Brooklyn Nets can come back from a 28-point deficit with KD on the bench, Ben Simmons on the bench, Kyrie not even in the arena, and some rookie named Cam Thomas dropped 16 points in the fourth quarter and 28-29 for the game. You can do that when your opponent is going left all the damn time. That is the one issue that I have with Julius Randle. Everyone has had the issue. Luke Walton called it years ago when he was coaching the Lakers and they had moved Julius Randle to New Orleans, and they interviewed him on the sidelines during the game, and he said, he's going left. I keep telling my team, he's going left. Why y'all acting like you don't know he's going left? This is what they said on national TV.
Wow.
During the game. And Julius Randle came out and went left. Now what you gonna do with that? What are you gonna do with that? The New York Knicks, it's a damn shame how they've disappointed me. They've disappointed New York Knicks fans. If I was Spike Lee, I wouldn't show up to another game this season. I know I'm not going to another game at the Garden this season.
Not at all.
I'm not going. I'm not going. First of all, Dolan makes it difficult for the media, but that's his petulant problem. I'm telling you right now, I'm so disgusted with the Knicks, I'm not going to the game.
What would bring you back?
How about respectability? The respectability that you teased us into thinking you had last year. How about that? It would be nice. It really, really would be nice. Seriously. I'm just disgusted. I really thought that we were out of this, that the New York Knicks were going in a different direction. And this season, for whatever reason, they returned to the disaster that they were before last year. I'm still holding out hope that they can make amends, but I'm very disgusted right now. Listen, I got boys on that team.
Yeah.
I mean, I boys in management, boys in the coaching staff, you know what, people within the organization. I won't even talk to anybody within the organization right now. I'm just that disgusted. I really am. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to have drinks. I want to talk. I don't want to do anything. I mean, I used to call Leon Rose. I got nothing to say. I mean, he didn't answer the call half the time anyway. But you don't have to worry about me calling. I got nothing to say. When you return the respectability, then it'll matter. Up until then, the New York Knicks are my worst disappointment. And I called Spike Lee the other day. We were on the phone. I said, don't go to the games. I can't do that. I can't do that. That's my team. I love them, man. I'll never give up. I'll never give up. Aren't you tired of having your heart broken? I mean, you're going to age in dog years, continue to expose yourself to this. I'm very disgusted with the New York Knicks. I really am.
Man, you're making me feel bad.
You should.
Oh,
everybody
man.
Should feel bad. We were excited. We were looking forward. We actually didn't mind paying these high taxes and paying for the parking garage and the $12 hot dogs. All of this stuff. We didn't mind because the New York Knicks were coming back. Now, I don't even know what to say. I mean, I'm not supposed to be this depressed to start first take. Okay. But that's how I feel right now. I'm that disgusted with the Knicks. They make me sick right now.
Whew.
They make me sick. I didn't feel that way last year. I feel that way now. I'm so disgusted with them. Matter of fact, I'm mad at you for asking.
I'm like messing up first take. No, but
can
I know
I go?
You're going to... You can go. But I know you're going to rally. I can't wait to see you on First Take coming up. And by the way, we're talking about one of Stephen A. Smith's favorite topics coming up. Dallas, Dak, he wants in on decisions. Is Jerry going to let him?
Dak going to make decisions now?
Welcome back. Let's go through some Cowboy concerns. And that's just kind of the theme of all this. But I want to talk about Dak Prescott. That's really sort of the big part of this, because Dak Prescott coming into the offseason, we're not going to be talking about the contract, but he did say something interesting. He was asked if he wanted to say on the field product. And he said he was a little surprised by that. Didn't think about that. But here's what he ended up saying. He said, I'm not going in and knocking on doors saying, hey, I want this done. I want that done. But I'm pretty sure that my opinion will be valued in certain decisions, as I hope. So with that being said, just plan on helping this team get better in every which way I can. But I like the words there. I think my opinion is going to be valued in certain decisions. So when we think about Dak Prescott having a valued opinion in certain decisions, Mike T, is that something that Jerry Jones will say, yep, absolutely?
He should. I mean, based on his track record, it's doubtful. Jimmy Johnson, Bill Parcells, there's a long lineage of people that have walked out of that organization. But Dak Prescott's earned the right. He's a high character player. He's been very productive. He's a, in my opinion, elite starting quarterback. And if he has thoughts around the offensive line, skill players, what's going on in the locker room, if I'm Jerry Jones, why wouldn't I want to hear that? They are teammates. They are standing shoulder to shoulder. There's no contract issues. Yeah. Let's look at the organization and what's best for us. And we've seen that a little bit. Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. We heard Aaron Rodgers talking about, hey, maybe I should have a say on the sixth or seventh receiver. We saw what happened when Randall Cobb came back. So to me, Dak Prescott has earned this right.
Yeah, and Jeremy, look, you've been following the Cowboys for years. You know a lot of sources in the league. We know all about Jerry Jones. But still, they paid Dak the big money. So you would think they would give him some input. And what I think is interesting is it's not like Dak is saying, yeah, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to ask for this. He was asked the question.
Right.
He said, oh, yeah, you know what? I would like a say in that. And I would think that I would be heard. Is that a legitimate shot to happen in Dallas where Jerry Jones is sort of the end-all, be-all with everything
on the field? The thing about Jerry Jones is that he will vibe with players a little bit. There's a reason why you don't hear players ripping Jerry Jones is because, you know, they typically have a good relationship. I think he'll listen to guys a little bit. That doesn't mean he'll do everything that they say, but money yields power a little bit. I don't feel like we were having these conversations 20, 30 years ago when guys were making $5, $10 million a year at quarterback. Now they're making 40, 45, put 50 on it. Like it's a different conversation when you walk in the room and you're taking up a fourth of your team's salary cap. You know, you can at least maybe throw your weight around if you want to. I don't think that's what Dak is doing here, but you have that option.
All right, Woody, what do you think?
No, I agree. I agree with Mike T and Jeremy there. Listen, when you're getting paid that much money, you know, it's inevitable that you're going to have, you know, have the ability to have some say in this whole equation. And like Dak has said, you know, that's no guarantee that, they're going to listen to him. But, Jerry Jones doesn't know what goes on in the locker room as well as Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott can bring a unique perspective as far as just being around the guys in the locker room and how those guys think, what they talk about. So, you know, he should value his opinion. We don't know if Jerry Jones is going to do it, but he should value, Dak Prescott's opinion because he's a very high character guy in that locker room.
Okay, so Mike T, I want to talk about what it means to value someone's opinion like Dak Prescott. If he comes to Jerry Jones and says, look,
I need you to keep Amari Cooper. I like him. Look, you're the GM. I get that. I'm just saying, I need you to keep Amari Cooper. He's my guy. I don't want to lose him. We can win with him. We can be Super Bowl champs with him. And Jerry Jones maybe doesn't want that. How do you show you value his opinion, knowing that guys like Aaron Rodgers will look and say, look, I've told them for years who I wanted, and they said no, and I'm not feeling that.
Part of your responsibility in the front office is you're playing the point guard of information, saying, hey, we can't afford Amari Cooper, and here's why. We need Randy Gregory back. We have the best defense in the NFL with Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Micah Parsons. So here's what we can't do, and that's why Amari Cooper has to graduate.
It's an interesting point. There's a fine line between valuing somebody's opinion and what you do when you say, yeah, I value it, but I can't do that. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Sam Acho with us as well. Acho, what do you think about all this?
I think that Jerry Jones is the Jerry Jones of Jerry Jones. Put it that way. Like, he's not valuing anybody's opinion. Oh, Dak has $140 million. What is Jerry Jones? His team is worth $6.5 billion. Like, let's just, like, there's levels. I'm just saying, there's levels. So, like, I've been in negotiations with this dude, right? I've been in negotiations with this dude. Man, we want this and that as players. And I get it. But his team is the most valuable franchise in the NFL. With that money comes power. With that power comes ego. With those egos come you saying, I don't need to hear anybody else's decision.
This is going to be very interesting. I want to see how that dynamic plays out over the next couple of years. Well, folks, First Take coming up next. Who is more likely to get to the finals, Giannis or Embiid? Plus, Aaron Rodgers, better off in Green Bay or San Fran? First Take coming up. Welcome back. Well, meanwhile on planet Earth, a couple days after the Super Bowl, here's Ja'Marr Chase capping off his rookie season by working at a chicken chain restaurant raising canes. Look at that. Looking good. Now, word is you can't use a fork and a knife to eat the chicken, although I'm not sure about that. Maybe Greeny can tell us.
I was going to say, if Greeny was in that drive-thru, he'd be asking for a knife and fork.
Oh, man. I love this, but Jeremy, I still can't get over that part. You got to use your hands when you got the wings.
Yeah, but then what do you do with your fingers? Because you don't want to be the guy licking your fingers.
Wet mats, my friends. First Take starts right now.